Then we come to admin and finance and building and fabric with thanks a million, it says. And you've got details of the thanks a million project at the bottom of that page, which will be launched in spring 2017. This is catching up the work that our conservation and renewal group have already been doing and going live with it in a major way. You'll see it says timetable for the works that we'd like to see on our buildings depends upon funding and permissions coming through. It's called Thanks a Million because we think we're going to need £1 million. 600,000 is already required by this building in terms of repairs to the roof, not just the roof but also other structural things as well. 400,000 is to renovate and to re-equip the church centre for its serving of the Horsham community as it grows. So in 2017, assuming the funding and permissions all come through, we would seek to complete the repairs to the south roof. So that's that side of the building. We would also create a flexible seating area in the southwest corner of the church, so between where the model is and the back, those pews would go. And that area would be a flexible seating area where buggies of both kinds could be put, but also for coffee afterwards. Also, it could be used during the week for various other things. Also, would give us much more flexible space for display areas, for notice boards, and so on. So that area would be just cleared and made serviceable as a flexible area. Obviously, chairs can be put out so it can be restored for big services. It would be completed later on. I'll come to that in a second. But the first stage is just to clear the area and to start using it and find out what we want in there ultimately. Then, also in 2017, consultation, design and planning applications would be made for the renovation project of the church centre, which is the other part of the Thanks a Million project. And that would actually take place, if the funding comes in 2018, going into 2019. In 2018, we would want to do the north roof repairs at the same time. So what we've done on the south side to do on the north side. But up in the church centre, what we want to do there is to move the nursery, who currently rent the guide hut in Den Road, into a purpose-built area, which would take up what is currently the manor room and the kitchen, and also building out a play area into part of the parking area. So that area there would be redeveloped, and obviously that's quite a major bit of the project. At the same time, we would need to create a replacement kitchen area elsewhere within the complex. We'd also be looking to reorder the toilet block, make sure there are disabled loos in there, and so on. Also, we would want to reorder St. Peter's Chapel. We want to create a cafe area in which would be run in partnership with Horsham Churches Together and Horsham Matters. This is following on from the old centre bookshop, which used to be at the top of the causeway. It was a very popular hub for Christian ministry, also for sale of Christian resources, books and so on. We're talking to the folk who were behind that, who would very much be interested to working with us in running a cafe area within that church centre complex. We'd want to start using the door out onto the causeway rather than people having to come round the back. And we're advised that because that church centre is an iconic building and of tremendous use to the town because it's such a central hall, that would attract all sorts of interest, and that it would be worth having a competition for architects. So that would take place during 2017 to get creative ideas of ways in which we could use that space. We already have, I think, some quite exciting ideas of ways that it can work, but putting that out to architects to get their input as well. Obviously, there'd be consultation with church family and with our Causeway neighbours and so on. We're also advised that because there will be so much obvious public benefit in the way that that building's being used, that all kinds of funding streams would potentially be open to us. If you have in there a nursery, if you have in there a cafe with counselling services alongside, if you have in there the night shelter, if you have in there all sorts of things which can be used by the community, if we had various sizes of rooms which can be hired out and used by the wider community, we'd be partnering with all kinds of funding sources to make that happen. But obviously there's lots of work which needs to be done to achieve that and take that forward. 2017 would be the year of consultation, design and planning, and if the funding comes through, then 2018-2019 would be the actual work being done. Then you'll see multimedia capability. We need that for services here in church, not all of them, but some of them, and that would come towards the end of the plan. So those are some changes to our church buildings. And I realise that they will be controversial. They will not be universally popular. And it may be that we need to adjust them slightly as we go along. But that is a very clear direction of travel. And one of the areas which you can be involved with is helping on that team which runs and puts together the Thanks a Million project. It will have two teams within it, one focusing mostly on the church and one focusing mostly on the church centre, because they are rather different projects. They will attract different kinds of interest and different kinds of funding, but we want to see them very much joined up together at the same time. So there's various ways you'll see on the buff form that you might be involved with that. And if you have professional skills which we could call upon within that, then that would be absolutely fabulous. But it doesn't have to be just people with professional skills. People with commitment, people with time to give to this in practice. It will be something which lasts for several years. It'll be a very exciting project. We'll be creating something which will be a fabulous hub for mission and ministry to our town in the future decades. And it's a significant thing to get involved with. And I do pray that if that's you, if God's calling you to be involved with that, please tick the relevant box and come along and we will arrange a meeting and obviously talk more about what's involved before anybody signs ultimately on the dotted line for it. So that's the church buildings part of it. Let me come on to the other possibly controversial part, which is changes to our church services at St Mary's. And this is the next sheet, map details for worshipping and praying. And the introductory comments are quite important. I'm not going to skim over those. We are a Christian church. Within that, we are an Anglican church, so we use services ordered or allowed by canon, and we are a parish church. And we take very seriously our call to be a parish church. That means we define ourselves by the parish that we serve. And as that parish grows and changes, we need to make sure that we're keeping in touch with the people who live in the parish. And if there are a diversity of cultures, a diversity of approaches, interests, preferences in the parish, then that should, if we're a parish church, be reflected in what we offer. And that means constantly just checking that we are in touch, and sometimes it means broadening. In our vision day, there was a call to keep, refresh, target and broaden a wide range of services for that reason. And some other just factual things to note going into this. In our current context, ministerial resources have reduced in recent years. Not long ago, we had four or five clergy. We currently have 3 at St Mary's. We had 3 readers, we're now down to 2. So ministerial resources have come down. That could change, of course, again in the future. Lay resources are also stretched in key areas. The office team take on more and more and achieve more and more with wonderful good grace, but they are definitely stretched. The same would go for the verging team and for our serving team. So those are areas that we're just aware we need to be careful how much more we take on. There needs to be pruning as well in order to create space for growth. We note that our 9:30 and Kairos services have been well supported and are growing in various ways, whereas evening services for some time have been falling in numbers, whether that's the more formal service of Evensong or whether it's Cafe Church, which is more informal. We also note that midweek congregations are often very small, as is our prayer meeting, which is currently called School for Prayer. So you have here a proposal for midweek communion services to have less of them, but to enhance the fellowship and the clergy engagement with them. Often at the moment we have a communion service which the clergy have to dash on from because they're going on to something else. They would stay for coffee after the service. There isn't currently coffee after the Wednesday 10 o'clock. There would now be upstairs in the Leslie room, and the clergy would stay. That would become a hub for growth, for pastoral care, for fellowship, as well as for worship for those who wanted to stay for it. On Thursdays, we have already an informal coffee morning, which is hugely popular up in the church centre and has grown, and we want that obviously to continue, but to be joined up more closely to the communion service, which also happens that morning. We want to keep both service times and venues under review so that these things fit well together and are easy to understand. So it may be that those times change. We have to wait and see. But that would be just fortnightly. Currently, it happens every Thursday. It would part of the pruning where this begins to hurt for some people is that that Thursday communion service would be fortnightly rather than every week. Also, the Saturday morning communion, which has very small numbers, would stop. And that's something which predates morning prayer every day, which happens here in church at 8:30. So we would encourage the people who've been coming to that service to come to morning prayer instead. We'd also want to review our prayer meetings and make sure particularly all of this, but the Thanks a Million project really is a question of going back to God and saying, Lord, please, we desperately need your guidance. We need resources for this to take place. So we need to make sure that we really are praying effectively for that. We're also aware that our Book of Common Prayer services, the 8 o'clock service, like Matins and Evensong, could benefit from being made more accessible with a service card, and we put a questionnaire out to people for other ways of doing that. Then turning over the page, at the top there is a faint but very important title. It says in capitals, it wasn't supposed to be faint, it's just come out that way, Trial, and that's important, Trial, Refreshed, Broadened Sunday Service Pattern for 6 to 12 months, then review. So we're going to do this for 6 months. If it's a total disaster, then we'll go back to where we are now after 6 months. We need to give it 6 months to find out whether it might work. If it's going okay, then we'll carry on and tweak again after 12 months. Basically, there aren't any changes in this pattern to morning services. The changes are to the evenings, and you'll see, first of all, the service time has changed from 6:30 to 5 o'clock. This is a trial change. We're not going to change the church notice boards yet. There will be a little bit of paper which is sellotaped over the notice board saying 5 o'clock rather than 6:30. But we think 5 o'clock is worth trying for various reasons. One is that it might just work for various kinds of people who it doesn't currently work very well for. Quite a lot of people, particularly at this time of year, but not just at this time of year. Once they get in, 6 o'clock, 6:30, actually Sunday evening is a rather, it's quite a nice time to be at home. You have a family meal. Maybe if you're a young family, it's bath night. Maybe it is getting homework done. Maybe there's something good on TV, Planet Earth 2 or Poldark or Downton Abbey, whatever it might be. You think, do I really want to go out to Evensong? Perhaps, no, I just won't. I'll just do Songs of Praise instead. Well, we're going to compete with Songs of Praise now at that earlier time at 5 o'clock. And so the idea is that actually you might want, with somebody else, to go for a walk on a Sunday afternoon and finish up in church. Or you might, as a family, want to go to the park together, end up in church. Or go to the beach together. You can have the rest of the day. We just want to try and see whether that 5 o'clock slot is a more attractive slot. The reason why 6:30 p.m. Got established was because back in the day, it was a very convenient slot. When farmers had finished milking the cows, they could come to Evensong if it was at 6:30 p.m. So it was a good bit of cultural adaptation to its day. I'm not aware of very many farmers coming from their milking to 6:30 p.m. Evensong. So we thought 5 o'clock, we'll give it a try. It might be that we can add tea in there. My son's church, when he was a student up in Durham, people used to bring cakes to the service at 5 o'clock. You were to have the service, stay on for tea, and that's job done. And people also used to do the afternoon together. Often there was a social time which led up to the service as well. So we thought it was worth a try, and if it's a disaster, then we can obviously go back to 6:30 again after 6 months or 12 months. There might be occasions where we particularly need it to be a later time, and we can always tinker with that if we need to. The other thing you will notice is that you now have an alternating pattern between a new informal service at 5 o'clock and Evensong. So full choral Evensong would be on the second Sunday. Currently it's on the first. So that would move to the second. And then on the fourth Sunday, you would also have a sung Evensong. On the other service, you would have, on the other two Sundays, first and third, you would have the new informal service. It doesn't have a name yet. This would be a service which is trying to broaden the culture of what we offer in the evenings. It's not stopping being St. Mary's. We aren't suddenly going to become one of the other churches in town at 5 o'clock on the first and third Sundays. We are still going to be St. Mary's. There will still be a mix of old and new, the best of both, but it will be a cultural different style. And we will have, pray God, a worship band who help lead that. I very much want that to be an overlap, though, with our current choir and our current musicians. So Mike and Jeremy would be involved with that. I want to make sure that we're just broadening what we're doing, and what we're not achieving is a polarization of things. I don't know whether you've ever been to a church, I certainly have, where you have one group over here who says, we do the proper worship. And there's another group over here, no, we do the proper worship. And depending on what you think proper worship looks like and feels like, you can have worship wars between... We really do want to avoid that. So an overlap between the two is something we very much want to achieve. We also want, as far as possible, to make sure that this worship band and the new informal service is conducted to a high standard right from the start. There is a danger that we have a very high standard when the choir are on duty, but not so when the worship band are on duty. We want to make sure that there is no sense of either one being the poor cousins, but that actually both are treated equally seriously. And in order for that to happen, one of the good things about having a service at 5 o'clock is that we can invite musicians from other churches in the town, St. John's, Broadbridge Heath, for example, we're talking to, that they might come alongside us and train us up. I'm sure we have good musicians in this congregation who might not want to take on the responsibility of organising this, but joining a team which is aiming at a high standard and which is about worship leading rather than just standards of musicianship. We need both and. We need good musicians and people who are people with worshipping hearts. We take that really seriously at that 5 o'clock service. And we continue to value enormously choral evensong as well. And one of the lovely things that can happen in a church is that people turn up for one thing and find, oh, I've come on the wrong Sunday, but actually maybe I'll stay anyway. That happened a fortnight ago. One mum brought her 9-year-old daughter for what she thought was going to be cafe church. Thought, actually, no, it looks like it's evensong. Shall I stay? Actually, she stayed, and her 9-year-old now wants to join the choir. That has happened the other way, that we've had people who've turned up for evensong and found, oh, it's cafe church this evening, maybe I'll stay anyway, and actually found that actually that's something which is also good. It's very different, but actually I quite enjoy that too. So given the opportunity, at one point we had one service at 5 o'clock, one at 6:30 p.m. I thought, actually you'll end up being totally confused, which Sunday is it, what time is it? By having it at the same time and an alternating pattern, there's the opportunity just to broaden out a bit from where we are currently. We'll try it and we'll see how it goes. You've got more details at the bottom of the page there about how it's going to be run. We want a team of around 20 people who work with Jimmy in setting up that service to begin with. It's quite an exciting venture, and we want to make sure that it is something which isn't tied down right from the start, which is open and can evolve, but which hits a fairly high standard right from the start. So if you would like to be part of that, then please do have a word with Jimmy. There'll be a commitment involved, because that group will need to meet, to pray, to plan, to research what might be used in the service, and certainly musicians will need to meet separately as the worship band to practice and so on. But it's something we want to take very seriously in this trial period and see how it goes. You'll see that Cafe Church now becomes something which just happens on 5th Sundays and also during the summer. So when the choir are on holiday, Cafe Church will take place during the summer, but also on 5th Sundays we can do something different to keep us fresh. So there are quite a lot of changes in there. As I've said all along, it involves abiding, pruning and growing. Some of us will like some elements of this, some of us perhaps won't like other bits of it. You then have an opportunity to get involved and to help this happen, help St. Mary's grow as we move forward. There is a description in your pack of the jobs, the vital new tasks, so joining the Thanks Million Project team as chairman, as publicity leader, as one of the fundraising team, as the project team secretary. That will evolve and grow, and as I said earlier, we'll catch up those already involved in the conservation and renewal team as well. You could volunteer to be part of the Lent Angels. You could volunteer to be part of the worship band, either on the PA side, as a singer, as a musician. Then on the back, you have some vital existing tasks. I said that we are already stretched in various key areas. We badly need some people to help with verging, that's setting up for services, making sure that services run smoothly. Also, there's an important, very important welcome part of that. We need voluntary members, and also we're going to create a part-time paid position of assistant verger together with church centre manager. We also need office volunteers with computer skills. We have a fantastic team of people who keep the office running very smoothly, who do a fabulous job of welcoming and of giving people the information that they need. We also need folk there who can help, particularly with the IT side of it. We also need more people on the server team to help services run smoothly, rather like the verging team, and people who can help join the hospitality team who organise our social events. You'll be aware there are lots and lots of social events which happen at St Mary's, and it tends to fall to the same small group of people, and it would be fabulous if there were folk who wanted to get involved with that. It really, really would. So please do consider that as well. I do apologise, this has been long. There is no way to present priorities for a church for 5 years in a short compass. And the only way to do it is to do it verbally, to take you through the literature, and the only way to do it is in a church service, because that's what St Mary's turns up to. So I'm afraid this is Advent Sunday this year. Come this evening and you'll have Advent carols and you'll have more of a sense of it being Advent. But this is, because it's the beginning of the new church's year, a very significant moment as we look forward. I'm really excited by all that there is here. I hope and pray that you are too. There's a real sense here, I think, of things working together, of God shaping us for the next stage of St. Mary's mission to our growing town, of keeping pace with the diversity of cultures, of making sure the buildings are fit for purpose, not just for now, but for the future. We seek to respond to God's abiding, pruning, and growing call for his glory. And so, in faith, if you'd like to turn just to the end of that first sheet, let us pray together with one heart and voice. Let us pray for a vision for the church where the Holy Spirit will feel at home because everything hasn't been foreseen, settled, and decided in advance. An open church, a church where the audacity to do something new will be stronger than the habit of doing things as they've always been done. And to God be the glory. Amen. My love and gratitude to you all as ever. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.